So we come to Luke 12 this morning, sort of kind of finishing up the Sermon on the Mount. Let me just kind of give you a preview where we're going. It's November. Did y'all know that? That comes the day after Halloween kid night. So all the Halloween stuff goes away, and Christmas stuff comes out, and Thanksgiving's in the middle. And we're going to talk a couple of weeks starting next week, about 3 weeks, about justice in the church, because justice is kind of a buzzword, and I've actually had people tell me they're against, you know, certain types of justice, and we're for justice, and this, and this, and this, and justice is very confusing, so we want to take scripture and shine the light on what that looks like for 3 weeks, and then we'll have International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, great Sunday that we always share together every year, and then it'll be December. Once Halloween hits, forget it. The year's gone, right? And then we'll have Advent together. And so we got a good end of the year ahead of us. Very much looking forward to it. This morning we have a text in which Jesus says multiple times, do not be afraid and do not worry. And if justice is a buzzword, then fear is too. It's a great way to accuse people you don't agree with what they're doing, right? We find this, Kelly and I teach one class at this little school. Kelly teaches a bunch. And it was hard getting the year started because we would get these emails and they would say, well, if you're going to be wearing masks, our kids aren't going to be there. And then 10 minutes later, you'd get an email that said, well, if you're not wearing masks, our kids aren't going to be there. Both sides, just like, rah, 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 you're just afraid of this. Well, you're just afraid of this, right? And this email would go out from leaders, and they would say, we don't know what to do. If we do one thing, we lose this family. If we do this, we lose the other family. And I said, well, you've certainly found the best way to drive yourself crazy. Let's please everyone. if there's anything a pastor knows, it's that, how to go nuts. And it was, this is the counsel, pray for wisdom. If there's any promise God makes, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and he'll give it. So just do the wise thing, do the prudent thing, and then let God take care of the rest. But here's the problem. We've learned this as elders at Creekside Bible Church. Wisdom looks a lot like fear sometimes, doesn't it? Prudence looks a lot like fear, so you're still stuck. Well, if we do this, it comes across as being afraid. If you do this, it comes across as being afraid. And elders are just like, well, Lord, just give us wisdom, and then you can work out the rest. And this is something a pastor said this week, and I was like, why didn't he say that months ago? I really needed that. He said, what if we looked at all these things that we're accusing each other of being afraid of? And what if we just went to Romans 14? Do you guys remember Romans 14? Romans 14 is where there's this big debate about whether we should eat certain food or not. It's food that's been offered to an idol. And some people were like, guys, an idol ain't nothing. Just eat the food. And the other people were like, are you kidding? That's been offered to an idol. We can't. This big, huge thing, and each side was saying, well, you're just practically pagans, and you guys are just afraid, and you guys don't know this, and you guys don't know this, and it was like this huge thing, and Paul said, well, what if we just did this? What if we assumed that people on this side are walking by faith, and people on this side are walking by faith, and you just didn't accuse them of anything? And I'm like, well, that's a good deal. What if everybody on each side who are believers and who are seeking to follow Jesus and are seeking to put the kingdom first, what if instead of saying, well, you're just this, you're just that, what if we just assumed that each of us were seeking to walk by faith? And what if we assumed a good motive and then we worked from there? Because when Jesus talks about fear, he goes down to the level of things that he knows we're afraid of. And he knows these are things we worry about. So you just kind of go, okay, I'm going to trust that you're thinking good thoughts, and if you'll trust I'm thinking good thoughts, and I'm going to trust that you're trying to walk by faith, and you're trying to love people, and you just will assume that of each other. And then we'll just try to get to the stuff that Jesus talks about. And so in this text, it's a long text. It's at least three sermons, but we're going to be doing that. I'll stop soon, I promise. But It starts with a crowd of many people, and there's so many thousands of them gathered. It says in Luke 12, verse 1, that they're trampling on each other. So you can imagine all these people, they're trying to get as close to Jesus as they possibly can, and they're just stepping all over the place. But then it says, in this crowd of thousands, Jesus began to speak to his disciples. So it's like everybody's listening in, everybody's leaning in, and Jesus just kind of looks at the followers and says, I've got to tell you something. And he tells them twice, there's two things you need to be on your guard against. I need to warn you about a couple of things. Be very, very alert about these things. And in the middle of these things, I want to tell you, don't be afraid. So when Jesus says, be on your guard, he doesn't say, you need to really be scared. He's like, no, just, I'm warning you. I'm telling you to be careful, be on your guard. I'm not telling you to be afraid. There's something in the middle of this you don't need to be afraid of. And then he gives an assurance about how he is just going to take care of us and how he values us. So we're going to go through that twice. Be on your guard. I value you. Don't be afraid. Here's what I'm going to do. So let's watch this unfold. So he leans into his disciples, this crowd of thousands, and he tells them, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees. Anybody ever told you, look out for yeast? That's what I thought. Yeah. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Jesus talks about yeast. He talks about something small that spreads. Like when you put yeast in a lump of dough, the yeast seems to be practically nothing in comparison to the dough. It's very, very undersized, but it will creep through and spread through, and the next thing you know, the whole dough has yeast in it. Right? That's the picture Jesus gives several times in Scripture. And he says, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. In other words, be very, very observant. Be on your guard. Let me warn you. Be alert from hypocrisy from Pharisees. And he says, there's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. And so he uses this word hypocrisy. Now, this is like the Christian slap in the face, right? If you really want to start a fight, just call someone a hypocrite. Like, oh boy, that gets the feelings riled up, doesn't it? There's a particular way we speak of hypocrisy where we say, believes this, but they act this way. And that's not what Jesus means by hypocrisy. As a matter of fact, I think Jesus has lots of mercy and patience and grace for the person who believes one thing, but they have a hard time living what they believe. That's me. Thank you, Jesus, that you're patient and merciful. I do not live up to what I believe, and that's not hypocrisy. That's just weakness, right? It's actually the opposite with Jesus. When Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites, he said, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. You honor God with your lips, but your heart's far from me. So hypocrisy means that you're saying one thing, but you actually believe something else. You see how that's the flip side? Oh, yeah, I say this, but in my heart, I don't really believe it. And so he's saying of the Pharisees, you know, they talk about God, and they talk about the law, and they talk about religion, and they say all these things. But he says, one day, the things they whisper when they're alone, everybody's going to know it, right? Everything that they do in the dark, where what they really believe comes out, everyone's going to know. He says, that's who you need to look out for. You need to look out for people who say some of the same things you do. You're saying the same thing, only you believe it and they don't. And he says, this is frightening, that's where your persecution is going to come from. I tell you, my friends, don't be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do. I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after the killing of the body has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. It's twice now. You're worth more than many sparrows. So he's saying there's people who are going to come to you, and I mean, just watch this unfold in the book of Acts, right? You've got religious people want the apostles dead, and you've got government people that want them dead, and this is actually unfolding too. And he's like, don't fear them, because they think the last step is death, and they have power over you if they kill you. And Jesus says, no, death is the next to last step. The last step is what happens after you die, and God's in control of that. So you should probably be more fearful of the one who has the final say over your eternity. All they're doing is killing you, right? And we're like, well, that's kind of scary. It's like, but that's not the ultimate power. He points to a sparrow. I looked this up this week. The most common bird on planet Earth is the common sparrow. If you have a bird feeder in your yard, you've seen sparrows by the dozens, right? Some bird scientist, it's ornithologist, I have a hard time saying it, so I just say bird scientist. Bird scientists say that there are more sparrows on planet Earth than humans. So you're not going to sell a common sparrow for $20. Jesus says, yeah, you might get 2 pennies for it. Just common. And he says, well, my Father knows every time a sparrow falls to the ground. And you're worth more than sparrows. I mean, he values you more than that. So don't fear people who can only kill the body. And then he gives this final kingdom. I wish I could spend all morning on 8 through 10. We kind of did one time, but whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Well, that's easy stuff, right? You're going to be, well, here's how he finishes it up. When you are brought before, and listen to these three groups, synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about two things, how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. So he's like, your fear is that you're going to be brought before people who have power and authority in your life, and they're going to be religious people. They're going to be synagogue people. How many times do we see this in the Gospels? People getting kicked out of the synagogue, and their entire way of life is disrupted and messed up. Their entire network of friends and family is just destroyed. Right, but there's also rulers and authorities. So there's all these different authority figures, some of them religious. He says the religious people are the ones you have to look out for because they sometimes sound like you. And so you're going to get in there, and you're going to worry, well, how do I defend myself? And they said, what if I say something, the wrong thing? Jesus is saying, listen, if you acknowledge that my works are of the Spirit, if you're acknowledging that I am who I say I am, then that's the core of this. But when you get there, don't just think, you know, I mean, listen, folks, you've been in a tough situation where you're like, maybe there's an argument, and once it's all over, you're like, oh, why didn't I say that? Oh, I missed my opportunity, right? If I could have said that, that would have been so clever and smart, right? And it never happens on time. And he's like, don't go into the situation just like, What will I say? He's like, in that moment, the Spirit will be there, and he will give you what you need. Because this was the promise, right? Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, he will teach you, and he will lead you into truth, and he will remind you of what I said. So the great fear in this moment is, I'll be ashamed, I'll be embarrassed, I'll be killed. I won't know what to say. There's a great verse, Psalm 119:46 says, I will speak testimony before kings and I will not be ashamed. He's like, in that moment, you're going to be worried about being ashamed in addition to like, what will my last words be? Right? When we get to International Day of Prayer for the Persecuting Church, people aren't worried about being made fun of in North Korea. Right? They're worried about, well, when am I going to die? What will I say in that moment if are my last words, right? Jesus is like, don't worry about it. Don't fear. Just be on the lookout. So let's just stop right there. Because these are fears. These are worries. And he says, well, don't make them worries. Just be on your guard. Be on your guard against people who say things they really don't believe. And he's saying this to his disciples. So I don't think there's a problem with me saying this to you today. Be very, very careful about people who want to talk a Christian game, but really just kind of want to use you. Someone said this week, Christianity means your Savior dies for you. A cult means your Savior wants you to die for him, right? So he's just saying be careful, because they're everywhere. They're in government, they're in churches, they're in houses of worship. He's like, be on the lookout. Don't be fooled by their hypocrisy, but at the same time, don't be afraid. Why? Because I value you. I value you. And some of you are saying, the hairs on my head are numbered? Yeah. Not just there's this many, but like that's number one, and that's number two, and that's number three. And some of you are going, yeah, that's not much of a challenge for some of us. But God knows. God knows. He values you that much. So when you're praying in the morning, okay, Lord, I don't want to walk through my day fearful, but I'm going to come to that moment where there's a moment to speak truth, a moment to speak the gospel, and my life will not be on the line. Nobody's going to kill me today for this, but I just pray that in the moment, fear will not kick in, and your Spirit will give me what to say. And he says, I'll do that. I'll do that. Be on your watch. I value you. Don't be afraid. The Spirit will come in, and you will need not be ashamed. Okay, that's number one. And then in verse 13, you have kind of a weird, funny little moment. It's kind of like a concert. There's thousands of people here, right? And someone yells a request, free bird. No, it's something like that. It's like somebody else had a request. Someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. What a moment. I mean, you got to know everybody's going, who is this guy, right? Jesus replies, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Like, that's not my job. Why are you asking me to do this? But he has another be on your guard, which I don't want to be the man who yelled that in this moment, because everybody's like looking at him when Jesus says, be on your guard, watch out against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So Jesus is kind of subtly saying here, this guy yelling out this request sounds like he's all about justice, fairness, and let's be even here. He's greedy. Everybody's like, oh, burn from Jesus. No, that's not the point at all. He says this to them, to everyone listening. Hey, y'all. You need to be reminded that your life doesn't consist in what you own. As a matter of fact, the words life and life and life appear over and over, and kill have already appeared. Your life isn't about how much stuff you have. So he's not just talking to that guy, he's talking to the crowd. And then he tells a parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? No place to store my crops. And then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll build my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you, and then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. So you can picture that. Man, what a good crop. Let's just build more barns, store it all up, and eat, drink, and be merry. What's happening here? This man's true heart is revealed with abundance. Life is not found in the abundance of possessions. Let me tell you about a man who had an abundance of possessions. And you found out that his life was actually about ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. The abundance revealed what he really was all about. And God's like, well, you're a fool. Because you're going to die tonight, and you're going to leave all this stuff. Wait a minute. God is opposed to days. God doesn't want me to have retirement. No, this is what he says. You stored up things for yourself, but you weren't rich towards God. And then he's going to say, let me show you what it looks like to be rich towards God. Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, here it is again, do not worry. Don't let this consume you. Don't let this always be in your mind. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, or what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They don't have a storeroom or a barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than birds. It's twice now that you've been more valuable than a bird. This time it's a raven. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? So he says, look at the birds. Look at the birds. Do you ever see birds like passing out resumes? You ever see birds like scouring the internet, wondering how they're going to make do? It's like birds, they got stuff to eat. And they don't, like, you know, I guess they don't build a warehouse. They don't go to Uncle Bob's, right? Fly back and forth from your bird feeder and go, whoo, I'm going to make it through the winter now. It's like birds just eat their meal. They don't dig, plant, wait for that to come up, and then eat what they planted. Birds don't do that. God just feeds them. And some birds eat their weight in food, like on a daily basis. So just be careful next time you say you eat like a bird. Yeah, just God takes care of them, right? And he's like, you're worried about something. You're anxious about something. This consumes your thoughts. And what are we going to eat? Where are we going to live? Am I going to have enough to make it? And God's like, well, that kind of anxiety, that kind of worry isn't going to tack another hour onto the end of your life, right? Nobody's going to get to the end and say, well, it's a good thing I spent all that time being anxious because I would have died last week. But by worrying, I got to live an extra week, right? He's like, you can't do that. And then he says, not just ravens, not just sparrows. Consider the lilies, how they grow. Lilies don't labor or spin. In other words, they're not making clothes for themselves. I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, it's just transient. Tomorrow is thrown into the fire. How much more will he clothe you? Oh, you have little faith. Don't set your heart. There's a word right there. Don't set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about that. The pagan world runs after all these things. And your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. He's like, listen, anybody can worry. Anybody can run around like a chicken with their head cut off, wondering where this is going to come from and this is going to come from and do I have enough and do I have enough and do I have enough. He's like, anybody can do that. Flowers don't do it. The birds don't do it. I feel like we need a song about that, right? Sorry, all I can think is the birds do it, the bees do it, right? But let's fall in love. But that's not it. It's the birds don't worry. The flowers aren't like making clothes. I mean, do you ever just look up close at a flower and go, how did this happen? This is beautiful. This is amazing. This is so intricate. Nobody could make clothes like this. And God says, yes, I know. And there are flowers out there that no human eye will ever see. There are birds out there that no human eye will ever see. And guess what? The flower will be gone. And the bird will have a next meal. I'm taking care of you. Watch out about where you set your heart. Because when you get more than enough, it will reveal where your heart is. Seek my kingdom, and I'll take care of all this. Now, I will confess, this is the minimum, isn't it? You'll have a place to live, you'll have clothes, you'll have food. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, that's awesome. And I'm like, could you throw in a 72 Camaro? Because I really want one of those, right? Split bumper, please. Maybe black, maybe orange, red. I don't know. You know, it's like, but that's what he says. This is such a sweet line. Look at verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock. So he looks at this disciples. Do not be afraid, little flock. So this is a shepherd speaking to his sheep. And he's not mocking them. He's not making fun of them. You're a little flock. I'm going to send you to the nations, and you're going to turn the world upside down, little flock. But let me just tell you right up front, don't be afraid. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Then he says, this is what rich towards God looks like. Sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes and no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, isn't that amazing that Jesus is not anti-treasure? Jesus is not anti-bigger purse. Jesus is not anti-store it up. Jesus is about where you store it up. Provide all of that in a place where it won't wear out. Provide all of that in a place where it can't be stolen. Provide that in a place where it won't ever run out. Provide that in a place where a moth can't eat it. Put that in the kingdom and you'll find your heart is there too, right? You guys know this. You guys know this. You gave some money. Let's just talk about Kenya. You gave some money to feed orphans. Now, these are kids, right? Where's my next meal going to come from? So they get fed. You were very interested in that, weren't you? If you gave towards feeding orphans, you're interested in what happens to orphans. Why? Because your heart follows. And so there's this interesting circle that happens. It's like, well, if that's where my heart is, that's where I put my treasure. And when I put my treasure there, my heart's even more there, right? It's this interesting cycle, right? So when you give and it goes, let's say, to Pregnancy Assistance Center, you're very concerned about what happens there. Just putting your treasure there, right? And we do these things all over the world, and we do these things in our own neighborhood, and that's where our heart is. We put the kingdom first, and then he takes care of everything else. He says, so little flock, not great flock, mighty flock, not army, little flock, and this is, what a beautiful line. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Not like the Father grits his teeth and he'll sell you part of the kingdom. Not, well, you know, it's his job and he has to. Not, why did I save that little flock? Maybe I could have found a flock that did it better. Why did I save that guy? This guy probably had more potential. It's the Father's pleased. The Father gives you the kingdom with a smile on his face. He delights to do this. He doesn't regret that you're his flock. So don't be afraid to just give stuff away and put your treasure where the Father is. So there you have it. Two warnings. Be on the lookout for hypocrisy. People who are saying one thing but don't really believe it because they want the power and the control. And be on your guard against greed, because greed will come out of your heart when you have more than enough, and then you won't praise God. Be on your lookout. I'm warning you, but don't be afraid and don't worry. Isn't that a great balance that we're trying to keep here? Be on the lookout, persecution's coming. Just don't be afraid about what you're going to say in the moment. Be on the lookout, you're going to be on the spot. Just don't be afraid or worry about how you're going to defend yourself. Don't be on the lookout for greed, just don't worry about how you're going to feed yourselves or your kids. In both instances, it is the Father's delight to give what in the moment. Do you remember the story? I'll finish up here. Jesus says, you remember, ask, seek, and knock. Whoever knocks, the door will be opened, right? You seek, you find. He says, there's a dad, right? If you ask your dad for a piece of bread, you don't get a rock. If you ask for a fish, right, you don't get the, what was it? A fish. Scorpion or something nasty you wouldn't eat that'll hurt you. And he says, how much more will your Father give you the Spirit? Like, even your earthly dad who's sinful knows how to give you something good. What about the Father who knows you, delights in you, who values you twice in this text? You're worth more than sparrows. You're worth more than flowers. You're worth more than the sparrows that I take care of. You're worth more than the flowers that are just beautifully dressed. You're worth more than that. How much more will I delight to give you the Spirit? How much more will I delight to give you just what you need when you need it? How much more will I delight to give you the kingdom to acknowledge you before angels? I know that there's something in us that feels like worry and fear are just what we're supposed to do. Somebody's got to worry about this, right? May as well be me, right? It's not anybody's job. It's not anybody's job. Seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom. Will you pray with me? Lord, I want to thank you that every person in this room right now and every person watching over the internet is valued by you, is worth so much to you. And God, there's something in us that can't quite believe that's true. Would you, by your Spirit, put the kind of faith in us that believes that? We feel like we've done too much wrong. We've not done enough good. We haven't trusted you all the time. We haven't been generous. We've been filled with worry and fear. Surely, we're not worth that much. Surely you don't delight in us that much, and you do. And so, God, we need your perfect love to cast out fear. We need your perfect love to cast out worry. We need your perfect love and affection for us to cast out the fear of being ashamed for not having the right words to say. We need your love, your delight in us to cast out the fear that we just won't have enough. And at the same time, help us to pay attention. Help us to pay attention. Not just to the world around us, but to our own hearts. God, does the world know what would happen with a church that just said, we're going to seek the kingdom first and trust God for the rest? I'm sure the world knows, but we sure would like to be the example of that, Lord. So we pray that we would be the little flock that doesn't fear, that stores up our treasure in heaven. May your delight be upon us. And may we live fearlessly with our eyes wide open. Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Thanks, y'all. Have a great week. Good being with you today.